You might want to put the little ellipses, a little period, period, period after that. It's good to know. You may be seated. It's good to know. It's good to know. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my Redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. It's good to know. Say, it's good to know. In verses 14 and 15, which we just read and I preached on a couple of weeks ago, the subject of prayer is addressed. And the Word of God tells us some hints or talks to us about how we can make sure we're getting a prayer through. If you remember that sermon, how to get a prayer through from a couple of weeks ago. But also the sermons are typically put out there on our website as well. But verses 14 and 15 talks about how to get a prayer through. We need to be praying in the will of God. And of course, the will of God, number one, is for us to have a relationship with him, to be saved, to be born again. The will of God is for us not to be walking around with unconfessed, unrepentant sin in our lives. The will of God, we got to get all that stuff out of the way. The will of God is for us to, in everything, give thanks. You know, the will of God. So as you are praying or learning how to pray in the will of God, learning how to get a prayer through, God comes right back in verse 16 and 17 and gives us an example of how to use what he just taught us. How many of y'all know the Bible is not just a book we just learn and that's it? No, God says apply what we're learning. So since 14 and 15 talked about praying and how to get a prayer through, here it is, verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 and 17 says, here's something you can pray for. You and I are to pray and to intercede for each other. You might want to even write that down. You might want to say, I should pray for others. I should be praying for others. As a Christian, we have the privilege, we have the responsibility, we have, yes, even the obligation to pray for one another. And specifically in verse 16 and 17, it's talking about praying for those brothers and sisters in Christ who are in sin. Yeah. We're Christians and we don't brag about it or boast about it, but yeah, we still sin. Got about six amens. We are Christians and unfortunately we still sin. And so one of the things you and I are called to do is pray for one another who are in sin. And he talks about, and I'm going to deal with that in just a minute, a sin leading to death and a sin not leading to death. But don't be taking too long trying to figure out which is which, because all sin displeases God. Matter of fact, verse 17 says all wrongdoing is sin. So don't be talking about, this is sin. It doesn't lead to death. Here's one that leads to death. No, just sin is sin. All sin is bad. Sin is sin. But we'll talk about that in just a moment. But first of all, let's address this fact of praying for one another. The Bible says pray for your brother or sister in Christ who are in sin. So pray for them. Don't gossip about it. Don't slander their name. Don't spread it all over town. Now the Bible says, pray for them. Pray for them. Galatians 6:1 even talks about if a brother or sister caught in sin, you who are spiritual, go and restore such a one. So not only the very minimum you and I should pray for one another, especially as it relates to this sin issue, but also, especially if you got a relationship with somebody, you need to go to them and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, you need to come out of that sin. You need to come up out of that sin. Watch this. If you are the one in sin, yeah, you, if you are the one in sin, you need to pray and confess that sin to God and repent of that sin, turn away from it and turn back to God, Mother Lawson, turn back to God. Let me talk briefly about this sin leading to death versus sin not leading to death. A sin not leading to death, these are just really general characteristics. The Lord is not talking about specific, like the sin of murder or this sin or whatever. It's just general sin. A sin leading to death, not leading to death, rather. Sin not leading to death is one in which forgiveness is possible. Forgiveness is available. And you seek forgiveness and God forgives you. You ask God for forgiveness and he forgives you. That's a sin not leading to death. It's like Isaiah 1:18, when God says, come now, listen to what God said. He says, come now, let us reason together. This is God talking. Let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, you got a bunch of them. You come and let's reason together. I can make them as white as snow. I can wash them away. He says right in this book, 1 John 1:9, he said, look, if you just confess your sin, If you just agree with God that I have sinned, I've messed up, I've blown it. If you just confess your sins, God said, the Bible says he is faithful and just. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's a pretty good deal right there. I bring all of my sins to him and say, Lord, I blew it. I lied yesterday. I did this. Here it is. And when we do that with a sincere heart, God said he forgives us. Now, oftentimes, sometimes there might still be some consequences. But for as your judicial standing before God, God said, I will forgive you. I will wash those sins away. And listen here, whatever you do, whatever I do, whatever sin we commit, it may be against somebody else. But ultimately, all sin is committed against God. David didn't miss that, even though he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, even though he had Uriah killed. David said, God, I've sinned against you and you alone. You are the first one I've sinned against. Yeah, I know I sinned against Bathsheba and her husband Uriah. But I first sinned against you. So a sin not leading to death, meaning you just keeping short accounts with God. You're saying, God, I'm confessing my sins. I'm repenting of my sins. I'm bringing them to you. Then a sin that leads to death. I'm going to talk about two different types of death. First sin that leads to death is the sin of unrepentance, the sin of not receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. The sin that the Bible talks about, how blaspheming the Holy Spirit is the unforgivable sin, it says. Other words, if a person is unsaved, they lost, and they just say, I don't need God, I don't need Jesus, I don't need the Holy Spirit, that's an unforgivable sin. When a person dies in that state, they end up in hell forever. They end up eternally separated from God, from the grace and mercy of God. They end up in the lake of fire. That's a sin that leads to spiritual death, and not only that, but eternal death, to be separated from God. That's a sin that leads to death, the unrepentant sin of the unbeliever. But listen, check this out. Even with a Christian, the Bible is clear about this in many places, even with a Christian, there's a sin that can lead to physical death. Let me say that again. Even with the Christian, there's a sin that can lead to physical death. Now, all of us are going to die one day unless the rapture happens. All of us are going to die one day. But from a human perspective, we can speed up that process. If you're born again, if you're saved, and God is showing you some stuff in your life, he's showing you some sin in your life, and you can continue talking about, I ain't going to repent, I ain't going to confess it, I'm just going to keep hanging out in it. Guess what? God will take you out of here. Let me say that again. God will take you out of here. In the book of Hebrews, it says that God, he disciplines those whom he loves. So if you and I, and the verse is going to hit it in just a minute, about those who are born of God just can't keep on sinning. If you belong to God, you belong to Jesus, you just can't live any kind of way and not get checked by our God. Not get checked by our Heavenly Father. Has anybody ever got a holy whipping every now and then? I mean, God will whip that behind. If you belong to him, you just can't live any kind of old way. God will put a restlessness in your spirit. He will send somebody by your pad. He will send somebody like Nathan the prophet to knock on your door and talk to you about David. And David, oh yeah, man, he need to be killed. I got it in the Bible reading tonight. He need to be killed. Nathan said, you are the man, David. You just can't live any kind of way if you belong to God. If you don't belong to God, you can't just live any kind of way if you belong to God. So as we talk about a sin that leads to death, a person who doesn't know Christ, when they die like that, they're going to end up in hell. But if a person knows Christ and there is like ongoing, you got unrepentant, unconfessed sin in your life, and you're just being rebellious, you're going to end up in heaven, shall I say, from a human perspective, end up in heaven prematurely. Let me give you some examples. Y'all looking at me a little strange. Let me give you a couple of examples. We won't go to these. You can just read these later. Now it will probably be a debate among some theologians about were they saved or were they unsaved. But I'm talking about people who were at least in the church, who were serving God, either in the Old Testament or New Testament. And because of their blatant disobedience, God just took them out. They sinned and it led to their death. In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through 7, Nadab and Abihu, two sons of Aaron. Aaron was a priest, two sons of Aaron. God had given special directions about who could bring and offer sacrifices to the Lord. And so Nadab and Abihu, the Bible said they brought strange fire before the Lord, and our Lord killed them, took them out. Leviticus 10, 1 through 7. That'll be your Sunday afternoon reading, Leviticus 10, 1 through 7. He took them out because they were being presumptuous about, hey, I'm going to do and go do what the priest do. I'm going to do what I want to do. Now God said, no, y'all brought this strange fire before me. God took them out. In Numbers chapter 16, Korah and his followers opposed God. And guess what? God took them out. In Joshua chapter 6 and chapter 7, God in his awesomeness told the people of God to just go around the walls of Jericho. I'm talking about a sin that can lead to death. Just go around the walls of Jericho and then shout, you know, shout. And then I'm going to make the walls come tumbling down. Oh, what an awesome miracle. Just a wall. That was their battle plan. Just march around the walls of Jericho. Sometimes God tells us to do something that doesn't make any human sense. Just march around. And then just shout, blow the trumpet and shout, and I'll make the walls come tumbling down. That was their plan, and guess what? It worked. The walls came tumbling down, but Joshua had told the people of God, said, hey, look, when these walls come tumbling down, there's going to be some nice stuff in there. Going to be some jewelry and all kind of gold. But God done told me to tell y'all, don't mess with it. But you had, you know, y'all got, somebody said, y'all already got one. you at least got, always got one. Brother by the name of Achan. He saw all that jewelry and gold. He said, man, I can take that to the pawn shop. Man, I can take that to the flea market, man. And Brother Achan, he got that stuff. And the next thing you know, God basically allowed, took his hand off the people for a minute. They went into a little war and they suffered a little defeat. And Joshua, wait a minute, something is wrong. And so they kind of took a poll with the people and they found out, long story short, that it was Achan who had disobeyed God. Took the accursed things, the Bible says. And guess what? His judgment was not just for him, but his whole family. They brought him out before the people of God because Achan disobeyed God. And they stoned him to death. Killed him. So I'm just saying, there's a sin that can lead straight to your death. Achan, he stole that stuff. And God said, okay, I'm taking you out, Achan. I'm taking you out of here. Somebody said, well, now, Pastor, that's just the Old Testament. Well, in the New Testament then, it's the same God in the Old Testament, by the way, as in the New Testament. It's the same. It's the same God. So in the New Testament, in church service, kind of like this morning, they had a church service. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Anybody familiar with them? Ananias and Sapphira, they were good church members. You know, they gave money to the church. They were good church members. And they came into the house of the Lord, Ananias and Sapphira. And the Bible says, in two different occasions, they came one by one. They lied to God. They lied to the Holy Spirit. And when they did that, guess what? They fell dead. And the Bible said, great fear arose among the people. I guess so. So because of their lying and because of their hypocrisy, God took them out. I often say that's the beginning of church discipline. That's the first church discipline right there, guys. I'm going to take care of this. But there are sins. All I'm saying, all the texts are saying, saints, and we don't know which one is here. No, this sin or that sin. But there is a sin that can lead to death, right? 1 Corinthians 11, I read it earlier. When they were coming for the communion, because of some of their behavior, First Corinthians 11, right, at the communion table, many of them were getting sick and many of them were dying. So, yes, there are sins that can lead to death, even immediate death. As an unbeliever, once again, they're spiritual dead, unbeliever. They die that way. They're going to hell. But even for the Christian, we can't just live any kind of old way. We should obey God because we love him, right? We should obey God because we love him. But watch this. We should obey God, too, because we fear him. Like a holy fear. I often tell y'all this. My daddy, I believe he's in glory now. I loved him to death, and I know he loved me. But I was kind of scared of my daddy. My daddy didn't play. I mean, stuff like just simple stuff. You and your brother, me and my brother, we be playing or something, and the news come on. My daddy be like, be quiet. Like, man, it's just the news, man. I didn't say that out loud, Brother Keith. I said that under my breath. I didn't say that out loud. But my dad, he kind of had a short fuse, and he was a little supervisor at a plant, and when he left the plant, Sister Cannon, he didn't turn that supervisor mode off. He came home supervising. Cut that grass. Pick that up. Hey, Dad, you should have clocked out. But you know, so in a real spiritual sense, we love our Heavenly Father, yes, but we should have a holy reverence and fear of God. You know, so God gives us plenty of examples through the text. I just gave you all a few. So there is a sin. It talks about the lead to sin, the sin that does not lead to sin. I mean, not lead to death. But the big thing on these first two verses I want you to get, and the Lord wants us to get, is that we need to pray for one another. Somebody say, pray for one another. When you hear, when I hear of a Christian leader, and we know sometimes some of them are false prophets and stuff, but sometimes they're legitimate guys. When they fall into sin, we should start praying. Brothers, oh yeah, I knew you. We should start praying. When a brother or sister falls into sin, pray for them. I said, pray for them. And let's be honest. If not for the grace and mercy of God, if not for the grace and mercy of God, he could have taken all of us out by now. We would have an empty church this morning. I mean, there's some stuff I've done before the cross, and there's even some stuff I've done since the cross, that if God would have just given me justice, he would have taken me out. Don't look at me strange. You in that same boat too. If not for the grace and mercy and patience of God, none of us would be here this morning. He would have taken all of us out. I often shudder by some of the stuff that happened in my life before I came to Christ, that I could have died and I would have been in hell, rightly so. I mention it quite often, I guess, because I go by there a lot. When I had that Third Street up on the bottom, when I had that head-on car collision in 89, God would have been still righteous and holy and just to have let me die in that car accident and sent me on to hell. He would still be a holy and a perfect and a just God. But I'm glad God used that to kind of get my attention. See, I better wake up. So that's why the Bible said to redeem the Lord, say so. So it shouldn't take me as your pastor or the choir or nobody else to beg you to worship and praise God. You should just worship and praise him because you got a relationship with him. You ought to worship and praise him because you've experienced his grace and his mercy and not his justice and his wrath. That's reason enough to worship him right there. God, I thank you that I'm not under your wrath. I thank you that I'm not under your judgment. I thank you that I've received your grace and your mercy and your love. Matter of fact, this morning I got some more mercy just this morning. Every morning we get up, we got new mercies. I had some mercy yesterday. Today, I got mercy today. If I'm able to see tomorrow, I got some mercy tomorrow, some mercy Tuesday and Wednesday waiting on me. Oh, I'm going to praise him for his mercy, his grace, his patience, his long suffering. Now, some of us, he was more patient than others. You know, he was a long suffering God with me. To whom much is given, much is required. I was brought up in the church. I knew better intellectually anyway. But I thank God. It's good to know that I belong to the Lord. Let me just say that. It's good to know. You ought to say it's good to know that you belong to Jesus. It's good to know that I'm born again. It's good to know we have a relationship with the living God. We could be trapped in some of these cults, these false religions. Like I said, once again, these Jehovah's Witnesses, they've been coming to Keystone next, probably. They've been all up in our neighborhood, right, walking around. And we could be stuck in something like that. But God saw fit to draw us to himself, the true God, the true Christ. So verse 18. In these last four verses, John, Brother Sidney, six different times he talks about we. So he's talking to us, the people of God. Three different times he talks about we know. One other time he says we, that we may know. So it's evident that God has some stuff that he wants to communicate to you and me through the Apostle John right here in these last four verses. I'm about to close this letter out. Once again, the New Testament, you know, basically about all these books were written and they were specific letters to go to specific saints or churches. So he's about to close this letter out to Love Fellowship this morning. He says, it's some stuff I want you, church, I want you to know. It's some stuff that's good to know. I want you to know. And so one of the first things he says in verse 18, he said, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. In other words, if you belong to Jesus, sin doesn't dominate your life. Sin is not your master. That's good to know. I said, that's good to know that I don't have to obey sin anymore. Now we know the text is not saying or preaching or teaching sinless perfection. So I'm not, that's not the message of the text, sinless perfection. But it does say, if you're born of God, if you're born, and this is a good salvation test. If you belong to Jesus, God says you're not going to just keep on sinning. As in, that's your habitual lifestyle. You know, your alarm go off 6 o'clock in the morning. You call one of your buddies, say, wait, what you know, man? Sinning. All right, let me check back with you, brother. Check back with him around lunchtime. What you doing, brother? Sinning. Okay, let me try it again. 3:30 in the afternoon. What you doing, brother? Sinning. Okay, 10 o'clock at night. What you doing? Sinning. No. If you belong to the Lord, you know, it's not an ongoing pattern, sister, because that's not your habitual lifestyle of sinning. That's what the text says, right? See, I'm talking about stuff that's good to know, right? So it's good to know, Sister Sherry, that those who are born of God, sin doesn't dominate their life. Sin is no longer your master. Sin used to be my master. It used to be your master. Sin would say, jump, and you just say, hi. I mean, sin, without Christ, without the Holy Spirit, the restraint of the Holy Spirit, we are no match for the flesh. We're no match, Sister Francis, for the world. We're no match for the devil without God in us, without Christ in us. So it's good to know, you might want to write this down, it's good to know that you can live holy. It's good to know that I can live holy. I don't have to sin. Now, we choose to sin. We do sin, but we don't have to sin. Oh, that's good news. So forget that old crazy theology. Well, you know, I'm only human. You know, I'm going to do some. No. Y'all say, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. And I don't want to sin. I don't have to sin. And when I do sin, I confess it. It grieves me. I'm mad. I'm like, man, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why am I thinking that? You don't have to sin. Now, before Christ, you did have to sin. You were hopeless. You were helpless. We're going to get to that in just a second. So it's good to know. It's good to know. It's good to know that you can live holy. It's good to know that I can live holy. Somebody maybe say, why? How? Well, God, he keeps us. Any of y'all know that God is a keeper? He keeps us. Jesus keeps us. He protects us. His Holy Spirit is in us. And I heard the preacher say it earlier this morning, Brother Brace, we've been sealed until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit has sealed us. So God keeps us. So he can keep us from going down that crazy road. Not only that, in this verse it also says, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God, another Christian, protects him, protects the fellow Christian. In other words, you know, iron sharpens iron. That's one of the beauties of being connected to other believers. That's why when I run into some of our, what I call renegade brothers and sisters who be super spiritual, you know, you talk to them and they may legitimately be born again. They'll say something like, well, you don't have to be a member of a church to be a Christian. Well, no, brother, I never said that. But God does say when you do become a Christian, he does say assemble with some other believers. Come together to worship and praise and serve him. You show me a long range of Christian, and I tell you a Christian is not maximizing their potential for the Lord. Let me say that one more time. You show me a Lone Ranger Christian, and I'll show you a Christian that's not maximizing their potential for the Lord. You need to use your gifts. Use the talents he's given you to glorify him and to edify other believers. I mean, even a Lone Ranger had Tonto. He even had Tonto. Don't be out there by yourself. Oh, yeah, I'm just me and the Lord. Well, that sounds all good and spiritual. See how that works when you get in some real trouble, you know. We got one another, Brother Bray. We got one another. We need to keep one another accountable. You know, so that's what the verse is kind of saying. Look, we don't have to keep on sinning because God is in us. Yes, we are born again. But also, we have other Christians. Other Christians help. That should be the job. All of us should, in a sense. When you're around the saints of God, that should help you to stay away from sin. If you're hanging around some folks, and next thing you know, they got you going towards sin. Maybe you need to stop hanging around them so much. Pray from them. Love them from afar. But not only that, saints. So it's good to know that I've been born again. It's good to know I got other saints that have helped me walk this Christian walk. But why? Also, in verse 18, I'm in the text. It's good to know the evil one does not touch him, the person that's born of God. Let me just say this succinctly. If you're taking notes, God places, hear me well, God places, Brother Kirby, definite limits on the devil. Can I say that again? Deacon Beasley kind of hit on that this morning as he was, did a great job teaching through part of Psalms 23. The devil, he ain't just running around on his own. I think it was Martin Luther, one of the quote unquote church fathers said, the devil is God's devil. I heard Brother Rodney often refer to Job. Go to Job. I mean, the devil had to go to God to get permission to mess with Job. Jesus, when Peter was talking and bragging one time, Jesus, Peter, be careful. Satan, he's asking or slash demanding to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you. Oh, y'all missing it. Jesus told Peter, who was, you know how Peter was, kind of loud and arrogant sometimes. Jesus said, all right, Peter, you talking all this noise. Satan, he wants to get at you to sift you like wheat. Now, sifting, you get out all the impurities, right? When you sift something, y'all know, y'all have any old cooks in the house, what was that device, a circular device, you put the meal, the sifter, it was called a sifter, all right, thank you, duh, it was called a sifter. You put the meal or the corn in there, and you start turning that thing and sifting it, and what would it do? There you go, take out the impurities, get the good flour, the good meal to come on down through. So Jesus said, okay, Peter, we're going to use Satan. He doesn't really know, he don't even realize it. He wants to sift you like wheat. That's what we want him to do anyway, get all the impurities out of you. We're going to let him sift you like wheat, but Peter, be encouraged, for when you fall, I'm going to restore you because I've been praying for you. Oh, y'all not hearing me. When the Lord allows the devil to come against us, he gives him definite things he can and cannot do. And not only that, he prays for you. He prays for me that we might come through victorious when the enemy comes against us. Oh, it's good to know that I serve a defeated devil and I serve a God who is undefeated. I serve a Christ who is undefeated. It's good to know that God places definite limits on the devil. So quit giving the devil so much credit. I like what Greg was saying this morning, like, go out there, your car flat. Oh, devil, he out there, he busy. Like he out there with a butcher knife, cutting your tire or something. No, as Greg said this morning, you just ran over a tack or something. That ain't the devil. But God does give him limits. Isn't that good to know? So, we don't have to walk out here being fearful. Oh, what's going to happen next? No, God gives him limits. I know sometimes it may not seem like man, all this stuff happening, all this stuff going on. But now God is still in control. He's still sovereign. Brother Keith and Sister Keisha, he's still sovereignly in control. It's good to know that he's still in control. Like I said, my little phone went on the blink, and so I kind of got behind. Plus, I was watching a little college football. I got behind on the regular stuff yesterday, and Tanya had to tell me this morning that, unfortunately, we had another shooting in Texas. Guys just driving around shooting people. And then, of course, we got things like the hurricane coming through. I mean, it's a lot going on, saints. But rest assured, God is sitting on his throne. He ain't stressed out. He ain't saying, well, what's going on? No, he is still in control. Just because we don't always understand what all is happening, understand we know the one that's in control. I say it's good to know that we know the one that's in control. 1 Corinthians 10:13, talking about how God places limits on the devil, says this, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. But God is faithful, who will not allow you or me to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to endure it and to bear it. In other words, when that thing comes in, God always gives you a way out. It's up to you and me to take the way out, but God gives us a way out. Adam and Eve, they didn't have to eat the fruit. They could have told the devil, just be gone. They didn't have to eat the fruit. God gave them a way out. They just didn't take the way out. So it's good to know, saints, that you can live holy. I can live holy. It's good to know that God places definite limits on the evil one, on the devil. He's not just running loose. Because he's a very powerful being now. He's very, so if he was running loose, we would need to be fearful. Probably just, let's just stay in here the rest of the day. Let's stay in here tomorrow. Let's don't even go outside. Verse 19, another thing that's good to know. We know, somebody said we know, that we are from God. I'm going to stop right there. I'll address the second part in just a minute. Beloved, I can't tell you anything more, that should be more reassuring and more profound this morning than to tell you that you can know that you are of God, that you can know that you are born again, that you can know that you're a child of the King. If you need something more from the pulpit this morning, I'm sorry, I can't do it. But it's good to know that I know I'm born again. I said it's good to know. It's good to know that you're born again. I mean, it's good to K-N-O-W. It's good to know that we're born again. I mean, even in verse 13, he had to hit it in verse 13. He said, I write these things to you who believe, who put their trust and faith in the name of Jesus, the name of the Son of God, that you may know, that you may know, that you may know that you have eternal life. Everything else is Minister Bread. I was talking earlier this morning. I mean, all this other stuff is temporal. One day you're going to die. One day I'm going to die unless the rapture happens in our lifetime. House going to deteriorate one day. Car going to mess up. I mean, all this other clothes going to wear out. But eternity is forever. And everybody on planet Earth, the billions, I think we have about 8 billion now, the billions of people that are on planet Earth today, the billions that have existed in the past, everybody is spending eternity somewhere. So the most important thing in my life is to make sure I know where I'm going eternally. And then when you get that resolve, it impacts you. It impacts the way you live daily. If you got the right eternal vision, I know John 14. I know Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be there also. Oh, that's good news, saints. That's good news that I'm going to be with Jesus. It's good to know that you're going to be with, if you know him, if he's your Lord, if you're walking with him now, it's good to know that one day you will be with him forevermore. It's good to know that you've been born again. It's good to know that I've been born again. Hell canceled, heaven guaranteed. Was in darkness, now in light. Was blinded, but now I see. Was lost, but now I'm found. That's good to know. Let me put a dime, let me put a quarter in the meter and spend just a little bit more time right there. You know, it's a lot of things that I don't know about. A lot of things you don't know about. I don't know what's going to happen in the next second. I don't know what's going to happen in the next minute, next hour, next day, next week, next month, next year. I don't know. You don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with the stock market. I don't know what's going to happen with our economy. I don't know what's going to happen with our tumultuous political situation. I don't know what's going to happen in the next presidential election. I don't know if we're going to keep this same. I don't know if we're going to keep this same person going to get somebody even worse. I don't know. I like college football. It's my favorite sport, probably. And so, like yesterday, I was watching some little games and. A few things I do know, I learned this on Saturday. Alabama, they still going to be good. get on y'all. Georgia, they still going to be good. Some other teams too, but Tennessee not going to be so good. And I'm a Tennessee fan. So I do know a little bit about this sports. But I digress. But for the most part, there's a lot of things that you and I do not know. There's a lot of things that we don't know. I don't know how long I'm going to be here on planet Earth. You don't know how long you're going to be here on planet Earth. So there's a lot of things we don't know. But watch this. One thing. You can leave here today knowing one thing you can know if you're born again or not. One thing you can know, this one thing I do know, is I belong to Jesus. I belong to God. The Holy Spirit of God is inside of me. By His grace, I belong to Him. See, I know that my salvation is secure because I have a relationship with the giver of salvation. I know that my salvation is secure because Jesus said in John 10, he said, wait a minute, if you're in my hands, John 10, verse 28 through 30, he said, if you're in my hands, nobody can pluck you out. That's good news. It's good to know that you're in the hands of Jesus. Nobody can pluck you out. And then he said, oh, okay, if that's not good enough for you, you're also in my Father's hands. You got double protection. Nobody can pluck you out. That's good news. It's good to know that our salvation is secure. That's not just a Baptist doctrine. That's a biblical doctrine. That salvation is secure. Once saved, always saved. If you're really in Christ, you'll always be in Christ. If you're really born again, you'll never be unborn again. Just like you were physically born, you can't be unborn, right? If you're spiritually born again, you can't be unspiritually born. Oh, y'all not hearing me. That's good to know that my eternal destiny is set. I'm going to be in heaven. I'm already seated in heaven, the Bible says. It's good to know. Romans 8. Romans 8 tells us that. Romans 8 says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him, Christ, who loved us. For I am persuaded. I am persuaded. I am convinced. I do know. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers. I'm just preaching the Bible. Nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In other words, God said, no matter what comes against you, hell or high water, no matter what comes against you, you okay with me. Your salvation is secure. You're locked in. You're in this forever. You ride and die. You're in this forever. That's good to know. That's good to know that forever. I'm locked in forever. I'm locked in forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. That's good to know. That's good to know. Locked in forever. Locked in forever. Tried to jump out and couldn't even jump out. That's good to know. It's good to know. I say it's good to know. It's good to know. Nothing else is secure like that. So rejoice in that, saints. Rejoice in that. It's good to know. We're locked in. Brothers and sisters, agrees? We're locked in. So when we evangelize and talk to people about the love of God, we ain't just, you know, spouting out some stuff we heard about or whatever. We know what we've read and we what we've experienced. It's not just a hope-so religion. It's a no-so. It's a K-N-O-W, no-so. And if I got any worries with me this morning, you've seen some changes in your life since you gave your life to Christ. Let me say that one more time. If you've given your life to Christ, you've seen some changes in your life. Let me try this side. If you've given your life to Christ, you've experienced some changes in your life. Let me try the choir. If you've given your life to Christ, you've seen some changes in your life. The Holy Spirit of God, he don't come live in you. You just keep doing the same thing. I say, you must not have met the Lord. When you meet the Lord, some stuff gonna change and it's not him. Some stuff gonna change and it's not him. He changed it not. So it's good to know. I'm born again. Also in verse 19, for the reassurance. Verse 19 talks about how the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The whole world. Tanya and I were talking earlier, so if you take a note, just say, it's good to know that I'm not in that number. I'm not under. Verse 18 just said the evil one can't even touch us unless God allows it. So we're not in that number where we're under the power of the evil one. I mean, you know, as a follower of Christ, we're in the world, but not of the world. We're like graveyard travelers. We're just passing through. This is not our home. I said, this is not our home. So since you are, if you are born again, don't be living worldly. Don't live according to this satanically organized system that's set up to draw you and draw me and lure us away from God. We shouldn't live according to this world's philosophy. Stuff like, you know, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. Stuff like that. That's not our mantra. It's not my thing. I gave my life to Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ. I present my body to him as a living sacrifice. So really, saints, I know it does, but it really shouldn't really surprise us when we hear about all this crazy stuff that people do. Because think about it. Before you got born again, you did some crazy stuff too. I did some crazy stuff too. I heard a good comment. After we were saved, we've done some crazy stuff. So it's good to know that we don't lie under the power of the evil one. That God is restraining some stuff from us, keeping us away from certain things, preventing us from doing certain stuff. Because we don't lie in the power, like the whole world, of the evil one. That's good to know. That I'm not a puppet of the devil. That he don't just pull my string and I do whatever he says do. That's good to know. That I'm not under his power or his control. And don't be trying to say, well, you know, I talk to the devil, I do whatever. No, you be like that third of the angels. All of them were up in heaven. Ezekiel, all of them were up in heaven. And then the devil had a brief moment of a delusional moment and tried to want to overthrow God, got kicked out of heaven. And not only that, I was going to say it, Mother Boy, a third of the foolish angels followed him. So he's very persuasive. He's very cunning. Adam and Eve asked him. So you and I ought to be glad that God, once again, has not allowed or is not allowing us. We're not under the control, brothers and sisters, of the evil one. Isn't that what verse 19 says? So the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So you ought to rejoice that I'm not under the power of this guy called the devil, Satan. So we're not under his control. But not only that. Verse 20 says, and we know, somebody said, we know. We know that the Son of God has come. That's Jesus Christ. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. He's given us understanding so that we may know. Somebody said, we may know who is true. And we are in him who is true. It's like a whole sermon in and of itself. So I just kind of hit a couple of these high points in verse 20. We are in him who is true, in his Son, in case you missed it, Jesus Christ. So how I say, he is the true God and eternal life. So watch this. It's good to know. You want to write this down. It's good to know that I'm in Christ. It's good to know that you're in Christ. It just says that you are in him, the one who is true, and that's Jesus Christ. So it's good to know that I'm in Christ. And eternal life is in him. So if I'm in him and eternal life is in him, that means I'm okay. y'all catch that? If I'm in him, and the Bible just said he is the true God and eternal life. Matter of fact, Jesus said it this way in John 17. He said, this is eternal life. You know, some people be like, what is eternal life? Is that when we get to heaven, we're going to go there? The Jesus said, this is eternal life. What is it, dear G? What is eternal life? He says, to know God and to know him. So if you know personally, if you're in a saving relationship with God and with Jesus Christ, you already got eternal life. You don't have to wait, well, when I get to heaven, that's eternal. No, eternal life is the moment you get born again. Eternal life is the moment you get saved. Can I say that more clear? The moment you walk into a relationship with the Lord, you leave temporal living and you walk into eternity even then. So another thing out of that verse, we can know, saints, that Jesus Christ is the true God. He's God, a very God. Now, once again, John is writing this letter to us and to the saints even then. There was a lot of false teaching going around about Jesus, just like there is today. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. There's still a lot of false teaching. Once again, God often gives us plain illustrations. I remember a few weeks ago, I think I was kind of joking and bragging about how the Jehovah's Witnesses skipped over my house. And they could say, they must have known I was a preacher. They didn't want to mess with me. No, they came back that next week. I was trying to get in my car. I was in a rush. They bum rushed me. They came up on me. And, you know, I mean, and so by God's grace, though, I was able to talk to them a little bit. And as I was talking, I was praying. So, saints, you got to know that Jesus Christ is the true God. You got to know that he's all God and all man. Because as I listened to them and as they talked to me and I was sharing with them that I was just talking biblical and saying stuff like, we know that evil came from the devil, different stuff. They was agreeing. But the moment I never forget this look on their face. It was two of them. The moment I start saying, but you know, God loved us so much, he sent his son, and I just explained the gospel, sent his son Jesus to die for our sin, was buried. And really, they got like a, and it's not really funny, really, it's really sad. They got like a glazed look over their eyes. Like they just really didn't get that part, you know, the gospel. Because they don't get the gospel. So saints, it's good to know. It's good to know that we know that Jesus is the true God. It's good to know that we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Christ. Peter said it this way, for there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven, no other name, not Joseph Smith, not Charles Haz Russell, not Mohammed, no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. It's good that I know that by God's grace and mercy. It wasn't like I was so smart or you were so smart. It was God himself, through being rich in mercy, came and grabbed us and revealed himself to us. Just like he did Paul on the Damascus Road. That's good to know that we know the truth. So don't let any Jehovah's Witnesses, I mean, they sound very compelling, very convincing. I mean, they're very good at what they do. But don't let them or the Muslims or the Mormons or anybody else mislead or confuse you about who Jesus Christ is. Jesus said, me and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Who else can say that? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Pharisees, the Jews, they didn't miss it. That's why they would pick up stones and try to hit him. They call him, he was blaspheming, making himself equal with God. Because he is equal with God. He is God the Son. He's not God the Father. He's not God the Holy Spirit, but he's God the Son. And I'm not going to ever back up off that. They had these little ecumenical meetings. I went to one some weeks ago. It was had a good central theme about education. It was good, but you had, you know, Jewish people there, and you had a couple of Muslims there and all. You know, I'm there representing Christ. You know, so I'm going to listen to what all they got to say and some good stuff. Sometimes you can join in and try to help good, a common good. But I'm thinking, man, if you try to talk about praying and all that, if y'all want me to pray, I'm going to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be saying, well, generic prayer, Father, and okay, in your name. I'm not saying, I'm praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all might not invite me back to your next little meeting the next time, but I'm praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to know who you believe. So it's good to know that you're in Christ. Let me share this with you. I'm almost through. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says this. Colossians 3, we're going to put it on the screen. Colossians 3, 1 through 4, talking about how it's good to know that if you're in Christ and that eternal life is in him, it's in Jesus and Jesus alone. Colossians 3 says this, if then you were raised with Christ, just listen, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. There it is, where Christ is. Sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth, for you died. Y'all see that? You died. Talking to the Christian. And your life is hidden where? With Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Here it is in a nutshell. As a Christian, you know, very, in a very real sense, we died with Christ. Y'all with me? We died with Christ, we were buried with Christ, and we rose with Christ. And the Bible even talks about, even right now, even though we are right here on planet Earth, we're also seated with Christ in heavenly places. Here it is, we're really in two places at one time. Oh, y'all not with me. We're in two places at one time. It's as if we were already in heaven. Yeah, we're not there yet, but it's as if we were already in heaven. Y'all know the concept of that. You know, our youngest daughter, Ariana, she's out in Arizona there in school and had a pretty good first week. And on Monday, me and Tanya, FaceTime. So it's like, she's in Arizona, but it's like, she was right back here in Chattanooga. We saw her face, we were talking to her, we were FaceTiming. I know that's kind of old technology now, but I'm kind of behind the time. It's kind of new for me, you know. We were FaceTiming two places at one time. Well, guess what? As a Christian, we can FaceTime the Lord all day long. I said we can FaceTime all day long. So it's good to know, saints, that by God's grace and mercy, we know him. And we are not under the control or the power of the evil one. So here it is, quick recap. It's good to know I can live holy. It's good to know that God places definite limits on the devil. It's good to know that I am born again. It's good to know that I'm not under the power of the devil like the whole world is. It's good to know that Jesus Christ is the true God. He's God of very God. It's good to know that I'm in Christ and eternal life is in him. It's good to know that he's my Lord and Savior. It's good to know that he walks with me and he talks with me and he leads me along life's narrow way. He lives. I say he lives. He lives. He lives. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. So once again, John concludes this. And then in verse 21, he said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. So in other words, John is saying, hey, look, these are things you can know. You can know for sure you got a relationship with the Lord. And this is how you can know, because of how you live your life. I mean, do you have a love for God? Do you keep a proper and correct view of Jesus Christ? Do you love others? You have a hunger and a love for not only for God, but also for obeying the word of God. In other words, John is saying, here it is, a great commandment, and I'm through. John is saying, a good question, a good way to end this letter. He's saying, keep yourselves from idols. Don't let things pull you away from the Lord. Make sure you're staying close to the Lord. He's saying, make sure, in other words, you observe and obeying the great commandment. What is the great commandment? Here it is. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. In other words, give God all you got. And then he said, the second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said, Jesus said, all the laws and the prophets hinge on these two, those two he just mentioned. So it's good to know, saints. It's good to know that you know that you know that you know. And then when life storms come, and they will come. Jesus said in this life, in this world, you will have trouble. But he said, take courage, for I've overcome the world. But you got to know some stuff. You got to be rooted and grounded in your faith with the Lord. And then you got to run on to the end. Persevere until the end. Don't grow weary in well doing. Don't grow weary in well doing. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you that there are some things that we can K-N-O-W, some things that we can know. That you want us to know, that John wrote them down, so the Holy Spirit told him. So, dear God, my prayer is that as we leave here today, those under the sound of my voice, dear God, if they don't know you as personal Lord and Savior, if they don't have a personal relationship with you, draw them today into a know-so relationship.